Leo Manzano is a lot like other folks you might find around Austin. He drives a Ford pickup. He runs around Lady Bird Lake. He works out at the YMCA. And that's probably where the similarities end. You see, Leo's among the fastest runners in the world in the 1500 meters.
Here comes Manzano. Manzano making a late run. And Manzano gets the silver medal.
That was the call on NBC at the 2012 Summer Olympics. The pride of Marble Falls came from near the back of the pack on the last lap to finish a half a second behind the gold medal winner.
You start thinking about everything you've done and, you know, everybody that's been home supporting you and, you know, your family. It's just like all these thoughts kind of come through you, and then it's like, hey, it's not over. You know, there's still 400 meters left to go. And even though you may be feeling totally out of it, you know, all these thoughts are also motivation.
Before Manzano's silver medal, the last time an American medaled in the 1500 was Jim Ryan in 1968. Manzano will be looking to improve on that this summer in Rio. The Olympic Games are already mired in controversies months before they even start.
It seems Rio has given up on its goal to clean up the water in time for the Olympics.
Reassuring athletes and visitors that the city is safe despite Brazil's ongoing Zika outbreak.
Russian track and field athletes may not be allowed to compete in this summer's Olympics.
The latest controversy, doping, could linger over the Games. Russia's track and field team could be banned completely from the Olympics. The head of the World Anti-Doping Agency, or WADA, may even consider a ban on most of the Russian delegation for the Summer Games. An anti-doping investigation by WADA found systemic state-sponsored doping has been going on in Russia for years, and perhaps not just in track events. Tennis star Maria Sharapova has been named to its tennis team despite a 2-year doping ban. And doping isn't limited to Russia. 18 Kenyan runners are serving suspensions that total 55 years. And while there are no Olympic implications locally to date, Austin is no stranger to doping scandals. The 2014 winner of the Austin Marathon, Joseph Mutinda, a Kenyan, got a 3-year ban when he tested positive for a steroid byproduct and admitted using erythropoietin, or EPO. Just a few months ago, Austin served as a setting in the controversial Al Jazeera documentary where an Indiana pharmacist admitted to supplying star and journeyman athletes with performance enhancers. And then there was this moment.
Yes or no? In all 7 of your Tour de France victories, did you ever take banned substances or blood dope?
Yes.
That, of course, was Oprah Winfrey interviewing cyclist Lance Armstrong in 2013. So what is doping? There are common types of doping in endurance sports. One artificially increases your red blood cell count. This can be done by taking EPO or even reinfusing your own blood.
They take blood out of their body, let their body build back its normal stores of blood over the course of 3 weeks. And then after that, put back in the blood they had taken out and stored.
Ed Coyle is a professor at UT Austin and directs the school's Human Performance Lab. With this procedure, dopers are raising their blood volume 10 to 12% above normal.
More blood means more oxygen carrying capacity, more oxygen delivery to muscle, and much faster times.
There are also peptides, and then there's the steroid, probably most commonly associated when people think of performance enhancers. All of these performance enhancing methods take advantage of chemical processes already at work in the human body. Most are commonly used by doctors in a variety of treatments. The upside for athletes is a quicker recovery time. They're able to train harder, longer, becoming bigger, faster, stronger. So why wouldn't we all want to dope? We'd all like to perform better, right? Wouldn't you like this story to be 10 to 12% more informative or interesting?
Well, I don't think for the average person and even the person who just exercises for health that, you know, blood doping is really going to produce a manageable or a measurable improvement.
So I'm not going to feel better Monday morning at my cubicle because I've doped?
No.
The tough part in track and field is really nobody cares until the Olympics, right? In the U.S., that's the reality, is that your big chance, your Wheaties box, doesn't happen other than the Olympics.
Ross Bomben is an Austin chiropractor who specializes in rehabbing sports injuries. Before moving to Austin, he was an All-American decathlete at the University of California. His Olympic dream ended in 2000 at the U.S. trials.
Almost all the people I've talked to are adamantly against it. They all know how much benefit they can have from it, but they are ethical and moral guys for the most part. And maybe I just run in an interesting group, but nobody has said, hey, can you hold these syringes for me?
Full disclosure, Bumbin's daughter played on the same third grade volleyball team with my daughter, without doping, at the Y. Which brings us back to the weight training home for Leo Manzano. Is he worried about dopers? In a word, no.
You know it's there, you just can't worry about it. Because ultimately, it's like, yeah, if you're that's all you're worrying about, you know, that's all you're thinking. And ultimately, you got to just step onto the track and race no matter what.
But first, he'll have to make the Olympic team. That's right, no bonus points for being one of the fastest at that distance over the last 8 years. No automatic position for recent medal winners.
You know, I feel really good about it. I feel good about it. And that's all I can say. I mean, everything else has to be taken care of on the track. I mean, and that's it. You know, it's top three. So.
The U.S. Olympic track and field trials start next week in Eugene, Oregon. Jimmy Moss, KUT News.